inviting us here on this most important commemoration. I wanted to thank Frank for his acknowledgement of country. At the start, has it become a bit of a political football at the moment, but it's being stirred up by certain influences in our society, and it needs to be stamped out because it's the least we can do, is to show our respect to the First Nations people who once cared for the land that we're meeting on tonight. So thanks for that, Frank, and thanks for the invitation too to the ACFS that the FELAF comrades have issued to us. It is an honour to be here tonight and to share some of our thoughts about what's happening in Cuba. I've got to commend Frank and FELAF for those short documentaries that you saw tonight. Much of what I wanted to talk about is already explained in those documentaries about the Cuban health system, about ELAM, the Latin American School of Medicine. Does anybody here, put up your hand, does anybody here know of any country in the world, any country, first, second, third world, whatever, who has a similar system of allowing people from impoverished backgrounds the capacity to train as the doctors they want to be helpful and constructive members of their own society? Does anybody know of anything like ELAM anywhere else in the world? Only Cuba. I mean, it's actual shameful to say. I was going to start my speech about my connection to Italy. My daughter married an Italian. He came from Ischia, little island off Naples. And when they wanted to set up and start a family, they couldn't find a home in Sydney here. It was too expensive, nor up the mountains. They had to go to regional Australia up the mid-north coast. And they bought a home in Nambucca Heads. And when she was having her child, Rhiannon was overdue. And so she was taken to Coffs Harbour Hospital, and there she was induced. But she was induced along with six other mothers, all to have their birth on the same day. And the reason why it was organised that way was that there was only a visiting obstetrician that came once a fortnight, and it had to all happen, all the births had to happen on that day. Now think about that. Think about that. Coffs Harbour and Nambucca Heads, a paradise. I mean, what a marvellous place to be sent to if you wanted to live your life in comfort and in luxury and in paradise. But they haven't got enough doctors there, they haven't got enough specialists there to cater for the needs of the local population. If you want to get a general practitioner in Nambucca Heads, good luck. You have to book months ahead. You can't just walk in. There's a shortage of general practitioners and specialists on a plum area, regional area, like the mid-north coast. You can imagine what it's like in Dubbo. Much of it is fly in, fly out. There's a shortage of doctors in this country. And you want to have the problems of First Nations people resolved? It's not going to happen with the way that it's being done, because there's no commitment to making sure that people are there and consistently concerned and loving the work that they're doing. Everything is supposed to be solved with money. Pay people more to go there. It doesn't work. And if you have a look at the whole world has got this problem of shortage of doctors. They don't have enough doctors for the population that they have. And on the other hand, you have Cuba, which has a surfeit of doctors. They don't necessarily have the materials to be good doctors and to follow through. You could see what was happening in the hospitals. The Cuban, the proud Cuban health system is on its knees at the moment. And that's the situation that they're in right now. But there's a shortage of doctors. And so this is the connection with Italy. The province of Calabria had this same problem. They didn't have enough doctors for their hospitals. And so several years ago, the Calabrian provincial government invited a full brigade of Cuban medical practitioners to come and assist the province of Calabria in their hospitals. 400 to 500 people came across from Cuba and have been working in Calabria very successfully. I have to explain a little bit to you about the Cuban method that's taught to all the Cuban doctors. It rests upon respect. You are not a number. They actively try and find out about you, your character, your interest, your personality, as they're treating you. And so it's all based upon respect and upon collective responsibility and collective consciousness. So they're very popular. And wherever they go, they spread this goodwill. But of course, the US wants to stamp out everything, everything that might bring foreign exchange back to the government of Cuba. And what happens in the agreement, what happened in the agreement in Calabria was that the doctors would get 3,000 euro a month per person. 1,800 of that 3,000 went to the Cuban medical department to sustain ELAM and the medical system as it existed in Cuba. The rest went to the Cuban doctors. And that was more than they'd get back in Cuba, let me tell you. And that was how the system operated. It was working quite well. But the US is determined to stamp out any form of income that might be useful to the Cuban economy out. And so a guy called Mike Hammer, who was a consul in Italy, put the pressure on the Calabrian provincial government to stop hiring, in fact, to send them home. Just as Bolsonaro did in Brazil, he sent 8,000 Cuban doctors home, undermined them, vilified them, called them all sorts of names. They weren't properly qualified, all the rest of it. You should have seen the offers as the Cuban doctors were leaving, the big offers of big money that the Brazilian hospitals were offering them to make them stay. But this is the kind of thing that the US is up to. They want to stop the Cuban medical teams from bringing income back to Cuba. To its credit, eternal credit, the Calabrian provincial government said, no, we're not sending back those doctors. They were one of the few governments in the world, because the US has been putting pressure on all of them. They were one of the few governments in the world to reject the pressure from the US vampire. And for that I say, viva! Viva Calabria! Molto grazie! Molto grazie! Of course, Hammer wouldn't go away without some concession. The Calabrians actually wanted to employ a further 1,000 Cuban doctors next year. But he made them backtrack on that. They had to go to the open market. The US puts this narrative out that this is all slave labour and they're assisting the dictatorship in Cuba by having medical teams there. I have to say that the pressure has worked in a lot of countries surrounding Cuba. The Central American countries, the Americans have leaned on them to stop them having the Cuban doctors there. Guatemala, Ecuador, Honduras have all betrayed Cuba and sent the doctors home. You know what happened in Venezuela, of course, it was a criminal coup, and so the doctors there have been sent home. Even Jamaica, which once upon a time was an avid supporter, they too have crumbled. Only Bahamas have rejected the Americans and spoken up for Cuban medical help. I was stunned, absolutely stunned. And this is one of the great things about the Cubans. They distinguish between the governments of the people and the people themselves. But I was stunned when the Mexican government bowed to American pressure and stopped the final shipment of oil coming from Mexico to Cuba. I said, how could they possibly do that? And then I checked. And one of the things that's very apparent about the Mexican economy is that their natural gas is 90% coming from the United States. And with a stroke of the pen, the United States could double the price of that gas and create all sorts of political problems inside Mexico simply by that economic pressure. And that's what's happening in all of those states that have had to send the Cuban doctors back. They've been leaned on by the US. And please don't think that the blockade is not working here in Australia. Every year, the Australian government in the United Nations votes against the blockade. With the other 160 or 170 odd countries, the vast bulk of them vote against the blockade. Only one or two or three US and their lackeys vote against it. Australia votes against the blockade. But I'll tell you that the ambassador that you saw earlier this evening, when they wanted to set up a new account, a new bank account in Australia, they wanted to renew their operations, not a single bank, not a single Australian bank would have anything to do with the word Cuba in their account. Fortunately, a union with attachments to a separate bank was able to get the embassy a banking account. But the banks in this country are part and parcel. This is why we can't send your donations directly through those banks. AFIDA told us that the system is every international transaction that Australian banks make goes through the mediation of American banks that supervise them all. Every single one of them. They go through the mediation of American banks. And that's where the funds can be seized and done whatever they say choose, because it's sanctioned under American law. And so, you know, what is the Australian government doing about this? We can operate by putting pressure on the Australian government to stand by its position of being against the blockade. We have to smash this blockade if we're to make any progress. Could I ask you all to recall the period of COVID in Australia, 2021 in particular? We were just going through the utmost panic about COVID. I know in where I live, we got this massive line out there at Penrith because one case was discovered in Blaxland, and everybody had to go and get a test to find out if they had COVID. There was panic. There was outright fear throughout the whole community. And in the middle of that, does everybody remember this? In the middle of that, Cuba offered 53 doctors in a medical team to go to one of the hot spots at the time in Lombardy in northern Italy. The outbreak was terrible there. It was spreading like a bushfire, and the Lombard health system was under acute stress. Look, I better cut to the chase. Just the negatives and the positives for Cuba at the moment. Negatives, I think the US will commit an outrage before the midterm elections in November. They're desperate. I don't know who it was that said that fascism is the violent arm of collapsing capitalism to keep it going. And that's the state that the United States is in now. They are desperate. They're desperate for a win. They've had nothing but declining polls, declining popularity. As liberal democracies, they're doomed. So they've got to do something, something dramatic, something big. And I think they think they can do Cuba. In fact, Trump's as much as said so much. They think it's going to be easy. And I think our strategy's got to be that would be the straw that breaks the camel's back in terms of that administration. We have to be aggressive. If they touch Cuba, the whole world, Australia, everywhere. And I mean, that sense of solidarity with Cuba is growing every day. And if they do, that outrage has got to be met with outrage enough to demand regime change in Washington. Regime change there. We've had it. The world is sick of this fascist type of oppression and intimidation, this violence, the violent language, the backstabbing, the sewer of American politics infecting the whole world. It's got to stop. And I think the stopping mechanism could well be when or if they touch Cuba. So I think that's got to be our main strategy. Prepare for it, be ready for it, because Cuba has much support throughout the whole world. Great solidarity. Viva Cuba! Viva! On the positive side, and you could see the consequences of the lack of fuel there, on the positive side, you know that the Russians, with their oil, and the Chinese with their rice, there has been just signs that the major powers like that are prepared to buck the US embargo. And that needs to be expanded and supported. But the Cuban themselves have been galvanised by these recent threats. And in fact, we've been urging them for a long time ourselves to do the sustainable thing. More solar parks, more wind farms. And they're doing it. And they're doing it fast. Right now they've reached, the construction of solar farms has been so rapid in the last couple of months, they've got to a point of about 20% of Cuba's capacity is now fed by that. They've brought forward, their target was to get 100% 4 gigawatt of electrical power by 2030, but they've now brought that forward to 2028. They are going hammer and tongs flat out to build solar farms. And of course, ACFS, we're sending funds to Let Cuba Live. They're focusing simply on sending solar panels to Cuba. Those solar panels will mainly be used for domestic use, like the roofs of people's houses and so on. But the solar farms are being supported by China. And clearly an agreement has been made recently that's going to step up the speed at which the solar panels, the solar farms are being installed in Cuba. Secondly, the Cubans, they're amazing. You know that they developed their own vaccines. We failed. We had our hope for a vaccine in COVID, against COVID. The Cubans developed not one, not two, but four vaccines during that period. They reached a stage where they didn't have the syringes to be able to apply those things, but they got it, and they got on top of COVID that way. They developed their own COVID. Well, you wouldn't want to know, but they have developed recently a way of refining the oil that they themselves have. And you may be surprised to know that there are 4 billion barrels of oil under the Cuban perimeter. They have bucket loads of oil. They've never had the capital nor the capacity to be able to bring it out of the ground and refine it. But they have now reached the stage where they've got the refining capacity. So it may well be that Cuba will be able to extract and refine their own oil progressively over time. That's one of the positives that we've got. The biggest positive, however, has been after the threats were uttered by Trump and Rubio, after they threatened Cuba with downright domination, it has galvanised the Cuban people themselves into carrying out these efforts faster, but it's also galvanised the world. It's brought people from all over the world out in the streets, and I've never seen anything like it quite in my experience with the ACFS. Here in Australia, we are getting bombarded now with people like yourselves, like Felix, saying, can we do something for Cuba? Can we have an event for Cuba? They're happening all over the place. I've never been so busy. Thank you. Thank you all for your care about this wonderful people. Yeah, thanks.